Welcome to Revcast, the Civilization podcast focused on its console platforms. I'm Joe B. Reeves.
Dan Q. L. Thrasher.
Grayson.
Because I'm sure there are a lot of people that have listened to one episode and they're like, never again.
It's nice to know I can affect people that way. Kind of a basic question, but do you find when you go online that, whoops, there's nobody playing, you have a pretty good chance of when you jump online that you'll have a game?
Yeah, always. There's plenty of players on Xbox Live.
And how about the PS3? I know you said it's been a while, but...
Free for all is a little easier to find a match. Head-to-head, sometimes you have to wait, but there's also a matchup bug. If you get too highly ranked, I think it has some kind of parameters where it tries to look for another highly ranked guy, and there's not as many people on the PS3, and so it takes forever, and eventually it just matches you up with a low-ranked guy for about 30 minutes. Free-for-all, you can usually get a game started at 5-10 minutes. Head-to-head on Xbox, about the same. And all times of the day, during the afternoon when the European players are on, in the afternoon in America, there are a little less players on, but with a newborn child in my house, I played at all different times of the day. Once you get reached a certain level, you can do whatever you want. You play to the play style that matches that game. But there are some people that are just, I guess, inherently aggressive, and some people that are inherently passive.
Yeah.
I've known top rate players that do both of them. I know Bum Bum a lot. He just used the Chinese, expanded, and never attacked, and just went for a technology victory and got to the top ranks. And then there's this guy, Blitzkrieg, on PS3. Better defend all game long because he's going to try to kill you all the time. Some people have different play styles, but in general, a lot of the players now seem to just play to the style of the civ they like to play.
In the top civs, which we consider to be the Americans, the Chinese, and the Zulu, you can go either way. You can be really aggressive with time, or you can just expand a lot and tech a lot, never attack anybody, and do what you want that way.
Right.
Three things. First of all, congratulations on your newborn, Grayson. I know that you will document their first Civ Rev round on a videotape or a digital camcorder, and it'll be up on YouTube. Did I hear correctly and infer correctly that in multiplayer you can have two players that are playing the same civilization in a game?
Yes.
You can have four.
You can have four Zulu and an AI.
And so it helps distinguish on screen visually by different color? Is that what it does?
Yeah.
Different shades of white and black. And
you get a white one and a gray one and a black one. Yeah, that's all you would need.
Not so much now since some patching and whatnot, but it used to be the Incans were very popular civ for Civilization 4, so much so that some in-house rule became, actually, you're not going to play that civ until they tweaked it properly. It was, you know, what color of Incans are you?
I guess it'd be really tough for the Germans in civ res because they're gray, and so you'd have lighter gray, white, you know, all come.
Oh, wow.
You'd be like, who's who?
General strategy of maybe your first 10 turns, because I know the strategy guide and some of the places I've seen online talk about this is what you got to do for your first 10 turns.
Well, Grayson has a nice little game strategy that he posts for new players. But the first thing you always have to do, assuming a normal game where you're not trying to do anything tricky, this is a rule of thumb, which means that you don't always have to do things this way, but it's just a basic good start, is that you want to put both of your workers on forests. That will get you a warrior in 3700 BC and a warrior in 3500 BC. And then you use those warriors to go and attack barbed villages and find friendly huts and name great lands and try to get to 100 gold as quickly as possible. What you do with the next five turns from 3500 BC to 3000 BC, to me, depends on what has happened so far. What I really like to do is to spend the next five turns growing my capital up to 3 population, because then I have a lot of options with a larger city. I can start working on a settler. I can research the technology pretty quickly. I can make more units pretty quickly. Just having the extra population, a lot of flexibility that early in the game. Sometimes it's a good idea to keep making more warriors, especially if there's a threat nearby. Sometimes you try to form a warrior army and go attack someone or defend with it. Some people I've been running into an awful lot lately like to move their original settlers maybe to find better resources, maybe to find some gold along the way, or maybe to settle right next to somebody and hopefully attack them before they know what's going on, which doesn't always work, by the way.
No, it's very risky.
So 9 times out of 10, you guys are plopping down right where you guys are parked.
I like to take risks sometimes, and there are a few civilizations where you can get more benefits from moving your settler. Like with the Spanish, you can move it and get the whales, and then one whale equals 4 food plus 2 science. And so you're growing 5 turns and getting 10 tech out of that 1 square. But that's still risky.
I do sometimes, once in a while, if I think that I can gain some benefit out of it. But I believe that in my somewhat 350 games that I've played, people who have moved have tended to benefit me more than benefiting themselves.
I agree with that completely. You see it quite commonly online, and it almost never works for other players to do it. I've had some decent success moving it, but I have very strict rules about moving the settler, and, you know, I'm not going to move it around for 10 turns looking for the greatest spot or goal. I'm always looking for, okay, here's a backup plan if this route doesn't work. But most people are still just holding out hope that they'll find that whale or die if they're English, which is not good. Or that hut to give them some 25 gold so they can rush a warrior immediately and then go attack somebody. But generally, I always recommend people settle right away. It's your best bet.
Except I have been moving with the Russians lately. I'll put that out there because of the local area map. You can find a better spot or you can go get gold really fast depending on what you see.
Right.
Oh, that's true. If you're sitting in a desert and you see a pile of trees, then it might be worth sacrificing a couple turns.
Well, sometimes you see a friendly village that's that you can get the same turn and then maybe settle right around there about a turn later. So now you've got 25 gold or maybe a tech. You've gained a lot by sacrificing 2 turns of moving your settler. But that's kind of a risky advance strategy. So basically, it's 2 warriors. Then if you feel safe, grow. If you don't feel safe, make more warriors. I used to often research bronze working in the second 5 turns, but I don't think that's a very good idea to do anymore. What you're doing then is you're going to fiddle really quickly, you're going to have an archer army in your tiny little capital. You're safe, but you're not powerful.
Right. I think the first 10 turns are pretty generic, and for a lot of people, you build 2 warriors and then grow for 5 turns to get your capital, the tree population. Then turns 10 to 20 are really kind of where you start to deviate your strategy. You can start building a settler right away. Or you can research bronze working and get archers up while you're waiting on your 100 gold settler. Or you can not produce 2 warriors in 5 turns and go to your cap of 3 and then you can force rush or select a different technology, which is a completely different start and something you need to start on right away if you are going to rush. Now with civs like the Arabs and the Zulu, I build warriors for maybe 10 turns and then work on growing and then attacking.
Yeah, I do that with Mongols too.
By the end of your 20th term, should you have found other civs to come up with a strategy?
You should have a general idea where some of them are, at least.
Right.
If you don't, you haven't been covering enough ground.
Or have a really strange map.
Or you could be on a tiny island, which is a really tough way to go. If you're lucky, you might be able to choke off a big chunk of land, your warriors. Like, sometimes there'll be a lot of land, and then there's just a hill connected to a little land bridge that goes to another continent or something like that. You can just warrior right there, and somebody's going to need an army to get past you.
Right. And to answer the early question, if I see another civ in the first 20 turns, and I'm not force rushing, or I don't have a good offensive unit together, and I don't fear them coming towards me, my goal is still just to cover more ground, explore more, and then work on expansion.
Yeah.
If I'm using kind of a more passive civ like the Spanish or the Greeks, I'm not, as soon as I meet somebody, thinking about, well, how am I going to kill them? I'm just thinking, well, how can I keep them away from me? You know, am I safe from them? And where can I expand to?
Like right over here, I just found a really great place for a city, so I want to make sure I get a settler, that kind of thing. Most people online, in my experience, I wouldn't say that a majority of the players are trying to take each other out right away.
Well, it is pretty common to see horse rushing or people being aggressive at first, but usually that kind of hectic period ends after about 20 turns. And then things settle down, and most people turtle. Men are very passive until they get up to more advanced units. And that's when I like to be aggressive. I like to be kind of passive at first a lot of games, and then start to be aggressive whenever they stop being aggressive. Build a bunch of legions really early and go hit them. Because people focus on defense at first, and then they start expanding, and then they get weak, and so they maybe build too many cities, and so with not enough defenses, and that's when I strike a lot of them.
It's very, very common online for people to have cities just 1 archer in them, or sometimes just empty.
You don't see a flag, get that city.
You don't see a flag, walk right in, yes. But most people aren't building archer armies everywhere or anything like that. And in fact, it's sometimes not a good idea to do that. I would say a lot of the time. Just got to jump in there and get a feel for it. Listen to this RevCast 1,000 times and read every single strategy anyone's ever written online, and you're still probably not going to be super great at it until you get a feel for it.
Kind of like some of these things can only be kind of taught through experience, and then you can come back and things make a lot more sense. You kind of learn by doing, you can get a lot of book knowledge, but you got to kind of get your feet wet to really know what it's like to get used to the tendencies of online players in the online atmosphere. It's not a horror story. You're not going to be pressed at a time. You're not going to be stomped every game in 10 turns.
Yeah.
I still lose games in 10 turns every now and then because sometimes the map makes it to where there's nothing where you can do about it.
Yep, it's all of us.
I'm starting 6 tiles away from the Zulu, and so they just kind of walk right into my capital before I can get any units out, really. Everybody loses. Playing online has exponentially helped my strategy, and I picked it up pretty quick. I feel like after a month, I had seen a lot of the different strategies out there and had improved exponentially.
I didn't used to regularly win by 1,000 BC when I play single player, but now I can.
That's my same experience. Now when I jump on, trying for a tech victory by, you know, 50 AD, which is the earliest you can do it, or I'm trying to win by 1,000 BC by domination, or get a BC economic victory, or try to push the limits of the game, see how many cities that I can build in the first 40 turns. Pretty much it just feels like we have free reign over the map now, and we're just dominating the AI. When before, when I was playing only single player, I was still struggling to beat it, and there would still be times when the game would be up in the air.
Yeah, for sure.
But now it's more to kind of test out new things, learn new things about the game, and see if I can relate that back to multiplayer.
That's what I do.
You feel there's still room for surprise in this game, then, obviously.
Oh, yeah, I learn new stuff about this game every day.
Yeah.
Phil Thrasher and I play this game all the time. Plus, we spend a lot of our time on forums talking about the game, and I'm always learning new little things about this game.
I win a lot of my games on. I'm definitely not as good as I could be. If I knew everything and were the best player, maybe I'd play once a week and just to feel good about myself or something like that. But, you know, I mean, it's...
Have you two ever had a match against one another?
We've played, I think, just like maybe 4 times, and Grayson has won 3 of them, so...
One or two of those times has been head-to-head.
I think all of our matches actually have been extremely unbalanced, where in 3 of those matches I got way ahead of it really early, and then the other one I got way ahead really early. So we haven't actually probably had a good test, but I'll go on the record and say I think he's...
Nah. If anything, we're same level.
Okay, I'm going to put my marketer's hat on here. Coming soon to RevCast, pay per listen. El Thrasher's Revenge.
Yeah.
Dot, 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 question mark.
Either one of you, is there any other game that has come out or that you see coming out on the 360 or PlayStation that you can see yourself putting this much time into?
No way.
No.
Wow.
This is a very unique experience on the consoles.
It's really it. You can get it done in an hour or two. You can have the whole game and you can finish it and have closure and play another game if you feel like it, or you can do something else. That's something I really appreciate in the game these days because I don't have the time to play an 8 or 12 hour game, so that's something I really like about this one.
Well, this has been RevCast with regular co-host Joe B. Reeves, interim co-host Dan Q, and then guest co-host El Thrasher and myself, Grayson.
Now that you've guested on the show, would you be willing to come back?
Yeah, sure.
Most definitely.
We can see what the public thinks, maybe. Whether or not I should come back, but it's been fun.
If we're not talking about it here, though, we'll be on the forums typing about it. It's just a different format for us to do what we love to do.
Information about RevCast, sibling shows Polycast and Modcast, or about Polycast in general, log onto the series' official website at thepolycast.net. Record date, August 9th, 2009.
Civilization Revolution Sounds Clips, copyright Take Two Interactive.
Copyright 2009, Civilized Communication at civcom.net.